Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 1771, slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Conversation was had with Conley, and hence Conley had no chance to decline it. I was in Conley's cell once or twice for the purpose of giving him medicine, but sometimes in there by myself. Neither of the parties aforesaid told me that I had as much opportunity to go into Conley's cell as they had, and they would swear that Conley had confessed to me as well as to them, nor did I say to either of them, "You are a damn fool. I am not going to mix in it." I knew Annie Maud Carter while she was in jail, but never tried to induce her to get any confession from Conley, nor did I ever seek to bring Annie Maud Carter and Conley together. No one ever sought to have me influence Annie Maud Carter with reference to Conley, nor did I know anything about the statements that Annie Maud Carter is said to have made in this case until after it was made. As to this statement, I had nothing to do with it. J.W. Wren, sworn for the Movant. It is not true that I ever sought to have John Shields made an affidavit stating that Jim Conley had been down on him, or that he had asked Annex him to let Conley go down on him, or that I said to Shields about swear to this lie for me, I would dress him up and send him to Cincinnati or anywhere else. I never said anything to Shields about Conley being a cook snooker, or that I said to Shields a few weeks ago, "John, I am in a hell of a fix. I have got to get something good. Don't you know a Negro woman I can get who will swear that Jim Conley went down on her?" I never wanted Shields to hunt up a Negro woman for me, and never had any such conversation with John Shields at any time. C.H. Burke, sworn for the Movant. I have read the affidavit of R.P. Barrett, dated April 20, 1914. It is true that Jimmy Wren was working for me, and that Jimmy Wren introduced R.P. Barrett to me under the assumed name of J.W. Kelly, and that I posed as a magazine syndicate press agent and endeavored to secure an affidavit from Barrett in a room in the Kimball House, and that Barrett told me that he did not believe Leo M. Frank guilty, but did believe that Mary Fagan was killed on the second floor of the pencil factory, and that he, Barrett, was entitled to the reward for making the discovery. Barrett explained to me that he was preparing a history of the case, and I offered to assist Barrett and asked Barrett to bring his notes and all records he had accumulated to me, but Barrett did not do so. J.P.